Thanksgiving is a special time for Americans, but particularly for believers, because we really have something to be thankful for, don't we? It's more than just the celebrations that we're going to have of the things that we're typically thankful for, but the fact that God sent His Son to die on the cross, to be raised again on the third day. Yeah, you know what we did earlier with the remembrance? It is a memorial service. It is a memorial service. It is a remembrance. But it's different because Christ didn't just die on the cross, did He? He was raised again in 3 days, so it's a celebration, not a funeral, when we go to the Lord's table together. And for that, we are grateful. But as we enter the Thanksgiving season, we'll be celebrating, I assume, with friends and family. And I have already heard of a family that's going to have 33 people in their home on Thanksgiving Day. And I was just wondering, can anybody top that? More than 33? Okay, I don't see it. That's too bad, because we had a $500 gift certificate waiting for you. But we'll be eating pretty well. We'll be getting stuffed, I imagine, watching football games, and other people will be shopping either online or Black Friday. And it's a great time in American life as we celebrate and we observe parades and pilgrims and poultry and lots of turkey. We may overeat, and that's bad for us. We know that. But did you know that expressing gratitude, which is what we'll be talking about today, that expressing gratitude is actually good for you? And it's proven to be good for you. Now, recent studies at the University of Texas Health Science Center led the researchers to conclude this: a growing body of research shows that gratitude is truly amazing in its physical and mental benefits. That's from the UT Health Sciences Center. And yes, I've already heard about the Aggies, that I haven't given equal time, but I'm sorry I didn't find their research on this matter. But it is true, and science confirms this, is that there is an inverse relationship between gratitude and depression. So every time, if you find people that are more grateful and express gratitude more often, there is less depth and frequency of depression. So who wants to be depressed? Well, no one does. And so one of the ways to help us escape that is to offer gratitude and to say thanks. It has to be intentional oftentimes, because we sometimes don't feel like it, which we'll talk about later. But there's an old saying that goes like this: if you can't remember the language of gratitude, you can't be on speaking terms with happiness. Let me say that again. If you can't remember the language of gratitude, you can't be on speaking terms with happiness. Now, let's stay on speaking terms with happiness. And let's look at the first scripture that's in your sermon notes, Psalm 107:1. And we're going to fill in a blank there. It's: give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. The first Thanksgiving feast took place in November 1621, but it was born out of some interesting circumstances. The pilgrims on the Mayflower had come over the year before, and they, because of the winds, they were running late, about a month later than they expected, and it had gotten cold and it had gotten windy. And they weren't able, they landed much further north than they wanted to. They tried to go further south along the American coast, but they just couldn't make it there. So they went kind of back up north and took shelter in Cape Cod. But the winter was setting in, and they tried to go ashore and make a life and make a settlement, and it was just too cold. They weren't prepared for the harsh winter, so they went back to the Mayflower and lived on the Mayflower while it was afloat in harbor. If you can imagine, those cramped quarters and those conditions there were horrific, and over half of them died and passed away. So look at the human element, first of all, that you've got a lot of grieving, you've got a lot of suffering, a lot of heartbreak going on. And then finally spring comes and they make it to shore, and they found a friend. They found a friend in a Native American named Squanto. Now, no relation to Tonto. But Squanto was their friend, and he trained them in how to grow corn, how to fish in the rivers and the streams, and how to tap the maple trees for syrup. And so they ended up going through the season, the growing season, and having a very successful corn harvest, for which they were very grateful. And the governor, William Bradford, said, "We're going to have a feast to celebrate this great harvest." And so they had the feast. That's what we call the first Thanksgiving feast. He invited, of course, all the Native American allies that he had, and they had a great time together, and that's where our Thanksgiving tradition got its beginning and got its start. Now, as we reflect over this past year, as we come to Thanksgiving, you may have had a prosperous year. You may have had a problematic year. It may have been both. But either way, let's remember the context of that first Thanksgiving. The context was one of suffering. It was one of grief. It was one of tribulation. It was very difficult. And in your notes, let's remember Psalm 118:24. "The Lord has done it this day. Let us rejoice today and be glad." Let us rejoice today and be glad. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the difficulties, whether the year's been problematic or prosperous, today the Lord has done it. Today the Lord has provided for us. Today the Lord has brought us here. This is the day that the Lord's made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. So today, rejoice. And remember the context of the first Thanksgiving. It was hard to say thank you and rejoice, but they did. So how do we have a heart of thanksgiving, of thankfulness? In your notes, first of all, we must have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. Years ago, motivational speaker Zig Ziglar created the popular phrase, having an attitude of gratitude. According to Zig, the more that you recognize and express gratitude for the things you have, the more things you will have to express gratitude for. Think about that for a second. I'm going to read that again. The more you recognize and express gratitude for things that you've got, the more things you will have to express gratitude for. So how does that work? So you take something very simple that you're thankful for. You're going to sit down at lunch probably here pretty soon, and you can say, "God, thank you for this food." Now go a little bit further, and you'll see that that food just didn't arrive there, didn't just appear there. You know, it was grown, or it was hunted. It arrived on your plate, and there's a process, and you can begin to say, "Well, God, thank you for my paycheck that allowed me to pay for this meal, and thank you for my job, thank you for my boss and my company. You know, I'm also having a glass of water. Thank you, Lord, for the water that you've supplied for us. Thanks for the infrastructure that got it here. Thank you for the rain that we've received." So you see, once you find one thing, you can begin to find several other things to express gratitude for. That's what Zig was saying. Once you start, you'll find and uncover more. So how can you develop an attitude of gratitude? Again, Zig Ziglar has something to say on this. By the way, how many Zig fans are out there? A whole bunch of you. All right, he would say this. You need to have a checkup from the neck up. You remember that? A checkup from the neck up. In order to avoid stinking thinking. In order to avoid stinking thinking. Now, the Bible puts it like this in Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now look at that the last three words there of that scripture. Think about these things. That tells us something, that we've got an opportunity to control our thoughts, to place our thoughts where they should go or where they shouldn't go. That there's an intentionality that we can employ with God's help about how we think. So, how should we think? Where should we place our thoughts? Scripture is really clear right here in Philippians 4:8. Let's look at it again. At those places we should place our thoughts, those things we should reflect upon, those things we should think about. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about those things. Excellence, praiseworthy. Think about those things. Place your thoughts there. As I was preparing this week for this message, I received a phone call from my daughter, Lauren. She's a freshman at Baylor. and she lives in the dorm, and she had been having the flu, and it was having, I knew she was having a tough week, so that's why I was sure to answer her call as soon as the phone rang. And I knew she had a midterm exam, and I needed a quote for my sermon. So she began to complain about her week. That very morning, as she was trying to sleep a little bit longer for a midterm that was coming up, as she has the flu, the next door neighbors get into a fight and wake her up at 6 in the morning. And so I said, as she laid all this before me, I said, honey, I've got the answer for you. You need to have an attitude of gratitude. And I was baiting her because, again, I needed this quote, and I was hoping she would say exactly what she said next. But, Dad, I don't feel like being thankful. I don't feel like having an attitude of gratitude because I've got the flu, I've got the midterm, I don't have enough sleep. It's just been a bad week. And I said, can I quote you on that? And she said, only if you give me credit. So she's here in the service today. She's back for Thanksgiving break. So Lauren, thank you for giving me. I've learned to always ask ladies before you quote them from the pulpit. So for giving me permission to quote you there. But isn't it true that there's so many times that we just don't feel like being grateful? We don't feel like having an attitude of gratitude. But once we begin that process, if we'll just take that intentional step of doing it, acknowledging God and saying, thank you, God, then other things suddenly appear that we are thankful for. So if we just take a moment to step back from our reality and gain a new perspective, oftentimes we find out that we have a lot to be grateful for. Shelly, my wife, and I had an opportunity to go on a trip this not too long ago, and part of our trip went through Germany. We went to Berlin and Munich, but one of the most compelling places that we went was Dachau, which is a concentration camp outside of Munich. I think we've got a picture of it that we'll show. And that was near its liberation time. And we're not going to show any of the gruesome photos that come from that concentration camp. There were tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, it's hard to know for sure, people that died there. And this wasn't an extermination camp. This was just a concentration camp where political opponents would be held. But nonetheless, because of their treatment, thousands upon thousands upon thousands passed away. And of course, as we're there, our gratitude for our present circumstance and our present home grew. Let me show another photo of a place right outside of Berlin, well, in Berlin. This is the monument to the murdered Jews of Europe. Those cement blocks the artist said, don't really mean anything, but they do look like caskets, and it just seems to be a sea of them that goes on forever. And if we could go back to the Dachau picture. Another thing that really struck us about the Dachau experience was that it didn't happen overnight. These atrocities didn't just boom start and they were off and running. It happened slowly. It developed slowly. One of the first things they did was they brought, it was just a little county building to begin with, and there was a minister that had spoken out against Hitler and his regime, and so they said, hey, we're going to imprison you for a little while. So they brought him to the camp, and there's several others. And they brought them. And before you know it, there were 2,700 Christian clergy being held at this camp. About 1,700 of them died because of their impoundment here. Now, of course, what started slow, just a few people here and there. Then it was tens, then it was hundreds, then it was, first clergy, but now it was being done by race and any political opponent. And before you know it, thousands, tens and tens of thousands were being brought to this concentration camp. But it all started with just a simple, let's let a little evil pass. Let's let a little sin of our culture go by. And once they did that, it was easy. Well, okay, it was just 10, but now it's 100, and now it's 1,000. And this happened over, many years until finally evil took its full course, and the horrors of that story. these folks experienced some tough times. And when you have tough times, I know that it's hard to be grateful. Sometimes it's hard to have that attitude of gratitude. I'd like to speak for just a moment to those who, you know, you getting here today was a major accomplishment. Because you've got things going on in your life that are difficult. You've got relationships perhaps that are tragic, that are dwindling. Perhaps there's a difficult diagnosis in your family that maybe you're dealing with. Job situations, but things are tough right now. And the whole idea of saying thank you is foreign. It's hard. I'd just like to say to you, I haven't walked in your shoes necessarily, but to the best of my ability, I want to understand. And I love you. But much more than me or anyone else, God understands. God loves you. He knows every strand of your DNA. And He wants to take you right now and wrap His arms around you so that you can experience a peace that transcends all understanding and a comfort that can only come from the ministry of His Holy Spirit. So friend that's suffering and it's hard to say thank you, just start. Start somewhere. I encourage all of you, all of us here today, take the sermon notes. And as we finish the sermon today, or as we're going through it, go to the back side and just begin to jot down some things you're thankful for. There's so many things. Just begin to jot them down. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. One of the easiest places to start is for the basics of life. In your notes, look for the bare necessities. Look for the necessities of life. That's a great place to start saying thank you. I'm so grateful for my father, who in his prayers would always say, and we're thankful for the necessities of life that we often take for granted, that we so often take for granted. And I'm glad he said that because it stuck with me. We do, don't we? We don't say thank you often enough for the clothing that's on our back, the food that's on our table, the very necessities of life. Luke 12:24 says this, "Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." You're more valuable than birds. You are God's most treasured creation. You are created in His image. And He is God the provider, and He will provide. Now, I know a lot of you, when we filled in that blank, started probably having a little jingle going through your mind, right? You ready to lighten the mood a little bit? You're looking for the bare necessities? I think we've got a little clip. The bare necessities. Now, how many of you are going to remember that or Philippians 4:8 when you leave today? I want you to remember Philippians 4:8. There were no turkeys in the Jungle Book, though, were there? Was there a turkey in the Jungle Book? I don't remember. Okay. It's next in your notes. Just being a turkey. Just being a turkey. Now, turkeys are interesting because they're in constant danger of losing their lives just for being a turkey. It's in their nature to be who they are. And therefore, they're hunted and they're harvested for their meat and to place on our table just for being a turkey. Now, since the middle part of the last century, United States presidents have been granting pardons to Thanksgiving turkeys, allowing them to retire in feathered luxury on a nice farm. And I think we've got a picture of President Bush pardoning a turkey. And there that turkey will go as he's received a pass. Now, I'm sure that if turkeys were able to understand, they would want to gobble out an expression of gratitude to the president. And they'd say, thanks for forgiveness, thanks for newly found life, and thanks for freedom. And you know, because of our human nature, we can be turkeys. We can be turkeys. We mess up. We make mistakes. We make bad choices. And the list goes on. And the Bible has a word for this. The Bible calls it sin. And although we're having a little fun with the idea of just being a turkey, the sin's a serious problem because of its dire consequences. And just like those Thanksgiving turkeys, friends, because of our nature, we need a pardon. We need forgiveness. We need to be set free from the law of sin and death. And our pardon and forgiveness are available through Christ Jesus. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7 that in Him, Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Friends, that's the ultimate pardon. That's the ultimate thing to be thankful for. When we're at a loss for what to express gratitude for, that is it. Again, in Ephesians 1:7, because in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So for our Christian friends here today, I'd just like to say this. If you're acting like a turkey, stop it. You weren't created. You weren't redeemed from being a turkey to continue like that, to continue on the ground. And stop being a turkey. For my friends that are visiting here today, and perhaps you've not yet received Christ as Savior, man, great things are in store for you. And that pardon, just like the turkeys receive, are available to us. So that we can establish a relationship with God, the Creator, through the blood of Christ, by asking Him into our lives. And He's faithful to answer that prayer and that cry for forgiveness and come in. And forgiveness and forgive us of all of our sins, our past, present, and future, so that we can have eternity and a relationship with God our Father. And immediately, when we ask, the Holy Spirit rushes in and begins a new fellowship with us. For all of us, it's important for us as we develop an attitude of gratitude to have a personal Thanksgiving proclamation. A personal Thanksgiving proclamation. And that's last in your notes. A personal Thanksgiving proclamation. Presidents often issue proclamations. James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, wrote in his 1815 Thanksgiving Day proclamation this: "No people ought to feel greater obligations to celebrate the goodness of God, the great disposer of events, than the people of the United States. He protected and cherished them under all the difficulties and trials to which they were exposed in their early days. And to the same divine author of every good and perfect gift, we are indebted for all those privileges and advantages, religious as well as civil, which are so richly enjoyed in this favored land." President Madison noted that we should feel obligated to celebrate because of all the good things that we enjoy. He also noted that where all those good things came from. He said they came from God. He alludes to the Bible specifically. You may have picked up on it when he said, every good and perfect gift, there's a biblical phrase there from James 1:17 that says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good gift is from above. Every good gift is from above. Are we saying thank you? Are we expressing gratitude? Have we had our check up from the neck up? Are we allowing God to make us usable so that He can use us? It all starts with saying, acknowledging God, You are our provider, Your creator, thank You. And You gave provision for my sins through Christ, Your Son. Thank You. And perhaps this Thanksgiving holiday, you will have your own personal Thanksgiving proclamation that proclaims the glory of God, the majesty of the Father, all the provisions of life, and of course, the giving of His Son. In just a moment, we're going to close, and perhaps there are those who are struggling with putting on that attitude of gratitude. We'll have friends here at the front. We call them our altar team, and they would like to pray with you. And if you'd like to come forward and ask for prayer with them, it would be completely confidential. But perhaps there's someone here today that has never said that initial Thanksgiving proclamation to God by accepting Jesus into their heart and saying thank you for that. Our altar team can pray with you through those as well. But don't leave here today without making that sure in your life, knowing that you know that you know that you have eternal life with the Father through Christ, His Son. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we're so grateful. We're thankful for the fellowship that we have one with each other. Thankful for the word of truth that you give us in Scripture. Thank you for the provisions of life that are all around us that we enjoy in abundance. And Father, we also have difficulties in our life and sufferings, and we thank you for them. And we ask you that you use them to make us more and more like you. And Father, for those who are suffering or grieving deeply, we pray that you wrap your arms around them and they know and understand and experience your very real presence. And above all, Father, we pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we say thanks. Amen.